salvation. This is one of the parts of salvation. So the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Does anybody know what that says? The Bible said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins.
Yes.
Say it with me. Repent and be baptized,
every one of you,
in the name of Jesus Christ.
For what?
Hallelujah. And what? Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And what? Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is important, man. There's no more important decision that you can make in your life. Not a Chevy, Ford, Dodge. They're all junk. But this is a heaven or hell issue.
Right.
So when you go down in this water, Joseph, I want you to understand, you're going to come up as a new man, brother. We're going to leave all that life. We're going to leave that whole life. Think about your life. Think about it right now. We're going to leave that whole life, that life of sin. It's all going to be left in this water. It's symbolic. So when you meet your Maker, Jesus, you're going to stand before Him as sinless.
Right.
The magnitude of that is unbelievable.
Amen.
I look at the 28 years of hell I put this world through, and I brought with me. You understand? And I left that in the waters of baptism, and I came up in newness of life. I can walk boldly now, knowing that I got a Creator, a God that loves me.
Hallelujah.
That loves all of us.
Amen.
Right? So, are we all sinners in here? Raise your hand if you're a sinner. And you need God's grace.
Amen.
Let me do this a little bit different. I feel the Holy Ghost so powerful right now. We're all going to repent together. All right? Because we're all sinners. Do we know what it means to repent?
Jesus.
Ask for forgiveness. Confess our sins. That doesn't mean you have to sit here and say, I'm sorry, Lord, for that one cigarette, and I jaywalked the one day, and I got into a car. No. Acknowledging that you are a sinner and asking God for forgiveness. Right? That is repenting. And then making it up in your mind, not just saying it, but making it up in your mind that you're going to continue to not go that old way, that old direction.
Right.
Repent is a military term. It means to do an about face, to turn and go the other direction. Right? Because I once was going to hell, and I turned around, and now I'm going to heaven. Alright? I want to lead us in prayer. Are you guys all willing to do this?
Yeah.
I know this is a little bit different today, but I really feel God's presence, and I feel God is reaching out to us as men in this church and as men in this community to do something better with ourselves. Amen? Because Bob, you've got attributes that somebody needs to hear about. You've got something inside of you that somebody needs to hear. And we've all got a story, right?
Yeah.
We've all got a testimony. So guys, would you bow your heads? Let's join hands. Right? We're all men here. Let's do this together. And just as the Spirit moves, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for this day, God. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. We all recognize that we're all sinners, Lord, and we need your grace, God. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of the men that we used to be, Father. We're sorry for the things that we've done, Lord. God, renew us today. God, put in us a clean heart, I pray. Renew our minds, Father. Keep us in your hand, Lord, I pray, Jesus. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. I'm a dirty sinner, Lord, and I need your grace, God. Wash over us, Lord, today, I pray. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us, Father. Lead us down the path of righteousness, Lord. Bless us with your grace today, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, help us to walk in truth, Lord. From this day forward, God, as we bury the old man, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. What's your full name?
Joseph Lintz.
Joseph
Maurice Lintz.
Maurice Lintz.
Washington.
Washington. Joseph Maurice Lintz, Washington. Put your toes up against here. You ready? Plug your nose with your right. Grab your wrist with your left. All right, what we're going to do, we're going to go all the way under. I got to get you all the way under, right? I don't want you half dead. I want you all the way dead. All right? It's important, okay? And when you come up out of that water, man, I don't want you to worry about any of this other stuff, any of these guys here, right? Because we're all here with you. And I just want you to take this all in. Take Jesus into your heart. Lift your hands and just thank him for this. Right. Because then we're going to lay hands on you, all right? And we're going to pray for you, all right? Jesus. All right, plug your nose. Joseph,
what is it, Maurice?
Maurice Lentz Washington.
Joseph Maurice Lentz Washington, upon your confession of faith, I hereby baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in my life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God, for newness of life, Lord. Bless my brother today, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go before him and stand behind him, Jesus, I pray. I just want to pray for you real quick here, okay? Before we baptize you. Lord, we just thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord Jesus. I thank you for this man's heart, Lord, in his response to the gospel, Lord Jesus. God, I'm asking, Lord, for a special anointing upon him, God, that you would just keep him from evil, Lord, and open his eyes and his ears to see evil from afar off, that he would walk circumspectly around it, Jesus. Give him the strength and the willpower, Lord, and your mighty hand by your Spirit. Keep him in your hand, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Bring your toes up to the front there. Plug your nose with your right. Grab your wrist with your left. What's your whole name?
Jared John Foreman.
Jared John Foreman. You're going to be a foreman someday, right? Like that idea?
This guy's flying.
All right. There you go. That's a good answer. Jared John Foreman. On your confession of faith, brother, I hereby baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Woo! Yes. Woo! Hallelujah. How do you feel? Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't that awesome? This is kind of a lead-in to the series that I want to do. I want to wrap this up this year, and we'll go into the first part of next year. I want to preach a series starting tonight on why we do what we do. You ever wonder that? Why do we do what we do? When you look at life, I look at my life, look at your lives, and everything we try to do in our life, we try to do with purpose. Did a great job, Brother Noah. Brother and Sister Strand, Noah and Renee are doing a phenomenal job and making a difference. Purpose. We look at life, and everybody that I've ever talked to has always sought after, looked for, what is my purpose? We've talked about this a lot over the last 4 or 5 months here at Calvary, about purpose. What is our purpose in life? What is our calling? What is God seeking for us to do? When you look at purpose, you can go over to the bookstore, and either a secular bookstore, or you can go to a Christian bookstore, and you can find all kinds of books that have been written about purpose. What's your purpose? What's your calling? What is God calling you? What does God have? There have been sermons and preaches, messages preached, thousands, tens of thousands about purpose. You can look at purpose statements. Companies have purpose statements. Churches have purpose statements. You read purpose poems or statements. People looking, and you can buy these little books that have all of these statements of purpose statements in those books. And I just picked out a few concerning purpose. The path of our destination is not always a straight one. We go down the wrong road. We get lost. We turn back. Maybe it doesn't matter which road we embark on. Maybe what matters is that we embark. That's a statement of purpose by a lady named Barbara Hall. You can go on, and the soul which has no fixed purpose in life is lost. To be everywhere is to be nowhere. When you look at these, lives can be changed by a simple reading of a purpose statement. If a person reads that and that changes, pricks something in their life, and they say, I want to make a difference in my world. I want to make a difference in my life. Lives are changed by it. But when you look at purpose, what really is purpose? What is it? Well, you can look in the dictionary and you can read purpose as a noun, is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. The purpose of the meeting is to appoint a trustee. Motivation is a synonym. Motive, grounds, cause, occasion, or reason. Now, when you look at the word purpose as a verb, it means to have as one's intention or objective. God has allowed suffering, even purposed it. God has allowed suffering. He's even intended or planned it or designed it. So when we look at purpose, when we look at God, it's hard for me to put the word purpose and the word God without putting them in a same thought pattern. I can't look at something that is God-related or in Christianity or church-related in our church world that we live in part of our lives, or this is a center of most all of our lives. So when you look at the church and such, it's hard for us as Christians to look at the word purpose without putting God in context of that word. Because you see, everything that God has ever created, He created with purpose. Although over time, things can become misused, misappropriated, and such, and have been misused according to their original purpose and design as God intended them, yet all things have a true purpose. Now, I don't know how many of you gentlemen or even ladies, you ladies and how many of you folks like to go fishing? I want to propose to you tonight, let's look at the fishing pole. I can only think of one purpose that a fishing pole is designed for, efficiently. You see, when you look at the fishing pole, now it can be used for other things, no doubt. But what was the fishing pole's original intent, and what was it originally designed to be? Its original purpose was to catch fish. Thus, it is called a fishing pole. It is a pole that has the intent or purpose to cast out into the water and catch a fish. Now, you can try to catch something else with it. Let's say you decide you want to take and have a butterfly collection. Or you want to take and catch one of those beautiful songbirds up in the tree. So you get out your fishing pole and you attempt to catch a butterfly or a bird with a fishing pole. If you've used a fishing pole to any proficiency, you will find out that the greatest enemy of the fishing pole is the tree branch. Now, you can attempt to catch a butterfly or a bird in a tree with a fishing pole, but your proficiency will not be as adequate or accurate as if you were to use that same pole, that same lure in a pond. Because, you see, fishing poles were never intended to catch birds. You see, everything has a purpose. Everything has a plan. And God, too, just as man, when He creates something, He gives us instructions on how to use what He has created, and He gives us instructions as to what the purpose for that creation is for, other than the mosquito. I have yet to figure that one out. You see, God gives, understand something. God gives all of his creation. Even though we may not see the value and we might not see the purpose, God gives all of his creation purpose. Now, church, this is the close of 2018. And as we move ahead into 2019, we have to move ahead with purpose. And there has to be a reason behind we do what we're doing. So I want to take tonight and just start out this series as a quick glance at what's going to happen as we come up onto 2019. As in every year over the past 4 years, we have entered into the new year with a fast. And our ushers have some cards here that they're going to pass out at this time as I begin to cover some of this. And as you get your card, we'll be focusing more on the back side of that card. This year, we have some area churches that have asked myself as the pastor if they can join in with our church as a show of unity within our community and within our county, where they would like to join in and say, hey, can we take and follow along and tag alongside of Calvary as a show of unity? So as you get our theme for this year, we're keeping the same theme that the district has. Brother Booker has presented this theme to the state of Wisconsin and the leadership at our fall planning session, and it is awaken. We added the little verbiage under that: revival is personal, but the scripture is Romans 13:11-12. And I wish to read that while you're getting these passed out. And that, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. I believe that God is calling his church today to awaken out of a sleep, to wake up. Church, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We're closer to the second coming of the Lord than when we first received salvation. The deadline, it's getting closer and closer. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. God is calling his church together in this last day, this last time, this last hour to say, listen, church, wake up. You don't have much time to do what has to be done. So as we go and we begin to look into our fast for 2019, it will begin January 6th at midnight. So that means January 6th p.m. service, you will probably hear about a lot of food. I got to get it all out. But what we're going to do, we're going to do this a little bit different this year. And I know our fast is not officially 21 days, but we're attempting to make a schedule that's going to work for the majority of the folks and the churches that are all joining in with us collectively. So if you want to fast those 21 days, you feel free to go ahead and fast 21. If you want to go 30 or 40, that's up to you. But along with our fasting this year, we're going to be adding into our fasting schedule Friday night prayer every week. And we're going to have an additional prayer time. And we're going to focus first, we're going to focus on worship. And then we're going to focus on prayer. Because worship and prayer, when they're coupled together, can become such an incredibly powerful thing. We can come in here worn out from the week, tired, frustrated, and sometimes we have a hard time focusing on prayer, but we begin to lift our hands, we begin to reach out to God in song and in worship, and something can change or begins or should begin to change within us. And through that worship, that will open up into a level of prayer that many of us may not have been in some time. So I'm looking to have that added with that. So first we have week number one, we have our media fast. Now I'm finding out that this is something that is much harder for most people to admit when it comes to fasting from social media. I used to think that this was just a young people problem, but it's an all people problem. If you have a smartphone, it's a problem. Don't try to deny it. It's a problem. As I said before, put a monitor on your smartphone, and it will tell you how much time and how much data you use on YouTube and Facebook and all of the other social media. And when you get done with that, you take all of that and combine that together and find out if you use that much data and that much time and that much memory reading your Word of God or reading the Word of God and or praying. Then you will find out if you have a problem with social media. So we're going to focus on just clearing out our minds, clearing out our hearts. It's 1 week, folks. I don't think anyone has ever died from fasting from social media. So our prayer focus for that week is going to be awakened. Because revival is personal. We can preach about revival. We can talk about revival. We can have Bible studies. But you know what? Until the church... You know, this is the thing about the word revival. Okay? The word revival doesn't apply, and it was not intended for the world out there. Did you know that? They're already dead. As the scripture says, we're dead in our sins, our trespasses, our iniquities. As Brother Noah said when he baptized, I want you to go all under because I want you to die totally to your flesh. Sin is what causes us to die. Revival, God is saying, awaken. Romans wasn't written to the lost. Romans was written to the church. Saying, wake up, church. Wake up! So we're going to talk, or our focus for week one is going to be revival is personal, surrendering our will. And I'll be doing a series that will lead us into that. Now, week two, we're going to start the Daniel's fast. So that means Sunday night at midnight, going into week two, we will start on a Daniel's fast. Now, with that, it's going to be, our focus is going to be awaken to ministry. What's your calling? What's your purpose? What's your gifts? We've talked about gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to have our elder, Brother Caskey, is going to do a series during that week, and we're going to have our series is going to be talking about the gifts, the purpose of the gifts, the calling. Why is this important, and how should these gifts operate in unity in the body of Christ? How do you know if you have one of these gifts? How do you find this out? So Brother Caskey has agreed, and I want to use our elders because God has given us our elders to bring balance into His kingdom, into His body. Every family needs to have a balance, and our elders bring our balance into our body. Week three. We're going to encourage people to go right from Daniel's fasting into straight fasting. One meal a day, if that's all you can do is one meal a day. If you can't do that for medical purposes, then just go back to Daniel's fast or go to social media. Just fast of some sort so that we can all be in unity when we fast. I would rather have 100% take and submit or agree to fast in any one of these three fasts and 100% agree to it and do it than try to say we're going to all fast straight 21 days and have 100 people start and have two people finish. Okay, it's about commitment and it's about consistency and it's about unity. Okay, so if you don't feel guilty because you can't, I'm not saying that it's an excuse. If you can only fast a meal, one meal a day, go for it. If you fast a full day for 7 days there, we encourage straight fasting. Any way that works for you there, and our prayer focus that week is going to be awaken to unity. And we'll be joined by a few other area churches that will be speaking on the same topic. I really feel that so many times we have looked at our local assembly We look at our own local assembly as if it's its own entity in Christ. We're part of a bigger body. I'm just wondering, and I've been challenging some of our pastors, what would happen if we all begin to preach and we all begin to pray and we all begin to fast in unity? How would that affect not just our city, how would it affect our county, and how would it affect the whole southwestern part of Wisconsin? So that's how we're going to end up on our fast. So keep these with you. These are a nice cardstock. Put them on your refrigerator. Ladies, you can set your calendars up for meal planning however you want. And I know that we'll probably have a whole bunch of recipes flying around and all this and that. I just know with Daniel's fast, just go to the store, buy beans, buy rice, or what's that other stuff that quinoa? That stuff's of the devil. There's got to be a reason why quinoa and kale. That's the kiss of death right there if you're a meat eater. I don't know what quinoa tastes with ketchup. Maybe it tastes better. I don't have any clue. I don't know that I want to try. Yeah, ketchup's got sugar. You can't do that, can you? I don't know. I think quinoa, if you were to take seriously and add a little bit of tar to it, it would make an awesome blacktop driveway patch. That's just my thoughts. We sure went south fast here, didn't we? I want to read tonight from Matthew 28, a very familiar passage of Scripture. This is going to be our series passage, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Very familiar. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. Amen." Church, why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? You see, there's a purpose for the church, and it's a fourfold purpose. And as I was preparing this message, my mind went back to previous years, and it's just hard to believe that we're closing out 2018 already. It's hard for me to fathom this year has gone by so quickly. And one could say that this passage, when we look at this passage of Scripture, that we could compare it to or make a comparison to as if we were in a funeral or after a funeral, and as a person passes on, they write their last will and testament, and we could look at this and say that this would almost be as if it could be Jesus Christ's last will and testament. As he stands there and begins to tell his disciples, "Listen, disciples, what is your purpose? What is your mission? Why do we do what we do?" And he gives his fourfold purpose in this passage for the church. And each day we are awakened as we wake up and begin our day. Every day that we wake up, Brother Noah, we have choices. Every day that we get out of bed, we have a choice on whether or not to get out of bed at a particular time. We get out of bed, we go to the closet, we have a choice of which clothes to wear or not to wear. Are we going to have breakfast at home, or are we going to hit the McDonald's drive-thru and have one of those just morbid breakfast burritos or biscuits because we didn't properly plan? And if you love McDonald's breakfast biscuits, good luck to you. What type of choices are you going to make at work? Where are you going to eat lunch? Sometimes, I'm just being really real here. Sometimes I have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning because I know I have to make choices. And once I start making decisions and start making choices, and I sit there and as I lay in bed, I can't figure out sometimes what I want to do and in what order I need to do it in. Anybody ever that way, or am I just the only one? Man, sometimes I hate getting up and going to the closet and picking out clothes. You know what I hate most? Don't anybody go tell on me on this. I hate going to all of these board meetings and have to pick out clothes on what to wear in what meeting. Oh, we're meeting this particular person. I got to wear for this meeting. I got to have a suit. I got to have a tie. I got this. And you got all of these clothes, and you're like, man, I don't want to pick any. I just hate it. That's why I hate clothes shopping. You know what I do? I got tags of all the clothes I buy. Literally, I had to move a tag today because it lost its sticky. So I had to reposition it in my closet, and it just says Wrangler, and it's got a SKU number on it. And I go over to Farm and Fleet, and I match the SKU numbers, and I buy five more pair. I hate clothes shopping. I went to the closet tonight to get khakis, and I thank God for Kohl's because I can go in there and I can produce my tag and I can buy the same pair of khakis, same SKU number, two in khaki, two in black, one brown, one blue, throw them in the cart and go out the door. I hate sometimes making decisions on clothes. I would have loved the Garden of Eden. You didn't expect that, did you? You don't got to decide what to wear when you get up in the morning. You just get up and you're dressed already. Some of you look like you were about to fall asleep. Oh, the things pastors say at times. That's just my thought. I'm sorry. Lord, help me. Oh, boy, where do I even go from here? You see, we can also make the choices. Do I want to go to church tonight? Or do I want to stay home? Do I want to read my Bible today? I'm busy, got a busy day ahead of me. I'll just listen to it in the car. Get in the car, you turn on a radio or you turn on your Bible app, and we can decide whether or not we even want to serve God. See, we determine this daily. I don't know if you thought about that or not, but I talked to Bishop years ago, and I said, Bishop, how did you determine you were going to live for God this long? I mean, did you say, like, for the rest of my life, I'm going to live for God? I expected some really, not being disrespectful, sir, but it's hard for me to call my dad sir sometimes. Not to be disrespectful of my father, but I thought I was going to get this long, eloquent answer. And he said, son, you decide every day. Every day. That's why I've been serving God for 60 plus years, because I get up every morning and I say, God, I'm going to serve you all day long. But you know what happens to us today? We want to go before God and we want to go big time. God, I'm going to serve you until the day I die. And by 4 o'clock that afternoon, we're mad. We've cussed. We ran somebody off the road. After, by the time Wednesday night service comes, we've done so many bad things. We're so embarrassed we don't go to church. Sunday morning shows up and you're like, oh man, he's on the schedule this morning. I don't want to go. Can't stand him. He's so long-winded. I've listened to some of you. I want to go long this tonight, James, just in spite. I'm just messing. I haven't been up here in a while. I'm feeling my oats. And you know what? After a while, we just say, what's the bother? What's the bother? But you know, if we got up every morning and said, you know what? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve you to the best of my ability all day long. And if I fail, then tomorrow morning when I get up, I'm going to say, God, I'm going to serve you to the best of my ability all day long. That's the great thing about repentance, Brother Noah. You can go to bed at night and repent, and it's all day. Everything you did wrong that you shouldn't have done, when you go to bed and you close your eyes and go to sleep, it can be just as if you never did it. If we repent. But we can determine whether we're going to serve God, whether we're going to fulfill His calling in our lives. Some of you I know have struggled with this. God is calling you and you're resisting, you're struggling. This is becoming something of contention inside. And so as we begin to look at the fourfold purpose and the reason that Jesus Christ, the fourfold purpose that Jesus Christ gave to His church, if we are going to go where that God has called us and God has purposed for us to go, we've got to ask ourselves, am I following after the desires of God's heart? What would God do? What does God think when I see this person or that person or react this way or that way? What would God do? Am I following after the desires of God's heart? Because if we surrender our wills and our wills to Him and we seek what after His will and we seek after His desires, what are they? So we have to say, okay, what is Jesus Christ? What is His purpose for the church? What's His vision? I think we pretty much read that when we read Matthew 28:16-20. That's His purpose. That's what He's called us to do. We call this the Great Commission. So when I look at this, does my vision, does my personal vision, does this church's vision line up with the purpose and the vision that God has for us? Because see, if what God has for us and what we have for us, if it's not the same, then it ain't going to work. So when we look at here at Calvary Gospel Church, can any of you tell me what our vision here is at Calvary Gospel Church? Anybody tell me where would you go to find the vision of Calvary Gospel Church? Sister Renee, the wall out by the library. Anybody know what's on that vision statement? Does anybody read that periodically? This is a vision that God gave to Bishop some 15 plus years ago. You see, we'll never understand and be able to figure out where we're going if we don't know where we've come from. So when you look at the vision statement of Calvary Gospel Church, it's a dream of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the hundreds of thousands of residents of Dane County. A place where they can find Bible salvation, which is repentance, baptism, by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But Brother Noah realize when I watched that video earlier this week that basically everything he said summed up exactly what is in our vision statement for Calvary Gospel Church. It's a dream of a place where the hurting, the depressed, the frustrated, and the confused can find love, acceptance, help, hope, forgiveness, guidance, and encouragement. It is a dream of welcoming 20,000 worshipers of every race and culture into a fellowship of our church family, loving, learning, laughing, and living in harmony together. It is a dream of developing people to spiritual maturity through Bible studies, small groups, seminars, retreats, and a Bible school for our members. It is a dream of equipping every believer for a significant ministry by helping them discover the gifts and talents God gave them. It is a dream of sending out hundreds of missionaries and church workers all around the world and empowering every member for a personal mission in the world. It is a dream of starting at least one new daughter church every year. It is a dream of a large parcel of land on which will be built a regional church for Dane County with beautiful facilities, including a worship center, seating thousands, a counseling and prayer center, classrooms for all ages, and a family life center. All of this will be designed to minister to each person in the family, spiritually, emotionally, physically, and socially, and in a setting and set in a peaceful, inspiring park landscape. I know that when Bishop put this down and penned these words, put this on paper all of those years ago, even though we weren't anywhere near this, he foresaw this because that's where God wanted to take Calvary Gospel Church. And look at all of these things that God is doing and that is happening. Why? Because one man had a vision and began to work for it, plan for it, and push for it. And here we are today fulfilling the vision that was begun all of those years ago. Has it been easy? No. Has it been a hard road at times? Yes. But we're not there yet. And the Lord hasn't come yet. And he's promised it. And we're going to see it. That's a vision statement. But you see, every church, we can write elaborate vision statements. We can put in all kinds of cool stuff. We can make it stand out to where all the other churches would look at that and say, wow, what a vision statement. But you see, a vision statement is simply or can simply become only a vision statement unless there is put a purpose statement that gives the vision a purpose. And we look here at Calvary Gospel Church. How many of you know what our purpose statement is? It's right out, Brother Glenn Rossing. Stand up and tell us our purpose statement. Vice versa. It used to be the other way, and we switched it a few years back. How many of you knew that was our purpose statement? How many of you know what our mission statement is? Can anybody tell us what our mission statement is? Wow. Our mission statement is equipping every member for a personal mission in our world. It's very simple. See, that sums up the entire vision. You see, you can have a vision. Even the scripture tells us, without a vision, the people perish. We can have a vision, but we have to have a purpose. We have to know why we're here. And then we have to have a mission. And the mission is where we put legs on our purpose. And with the mission and the purpose, we can accomplish the vision. It doesn't happen. A vision won't happen by itself. It has to have people with a purpose. And that purpose, they have to have a mission. So we have to look at ourselves. And one of the most important things other than salvation and leading people to Christ that we can ever do is to find out what our own personal mission is in our world today. Why do we do what we do? Why am I here, God? So when we look at our mission, our vision, our mission and our purpose, how does this compare to the mission that we have been commissioned to do by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Within our vision statement, there is a section, and it says it is a dream of welcoming 20,000 members of every race and culture into the fellowship of our church family, loving, learning, laughing, and living in harmony together. When we look at that statement, as I was reading that this past week, something jumped out at me, and it says, we see the word worshipers, welcoming 20,000 worshipers. So when I look at this vision statement, and I look at what Jesus Christ stated as his personal statement, when we read Matthew 28:19 and such, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Church, when I look at all of this, I want to begin tonight, and I know I've said a lot, and I'm just going to get into the beginning, but this is just the beginning. It's the first message of this series. You see, if you can't worship God, hear me now, if you can't worship God, you can't serve God. You will never be able to effectively serve him if you can't worship him. It won't work. It's not going to happen, because anything and everything that serves him first must worship him. That's why Satan couldn't handle heaven, because his pride and arrogance would not allow him to worship God. He says, I can't do that anymore. So if you can't worship me, you can't serve me, so there's no need for you in my kingdom anymore. That's why this is the starting point of anyone's relationship with God. We read in our text, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. They worshiped him. All authority is given unto me. This is the starting point and the central purpose of our relationship with God, as we were created for worship. That's why before salvation, we fail in this purpose of God. When we read in Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 26, I'm going to focus on verse 23. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnesses by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified merely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Let me tell you something, church. God deserves our worship. God deserves our worship. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, and all he has done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. For saving me. I owe it to him to worship him. It's just too bad. So many of our churches now, they have eloquent worship services where it's all about the people that are singing. It's all focused on, oh, you have so-and-so this week leading in worship. I don't need anybody to lead me into worship. It's nice to have Sister Cecily lead us into worship. There's a special element when someone can actually sing as they lead us into worship. But I can worship God out in a deer blind. I can worship God plowing snow. I can worship God mowing the lawn. I can worship God anywhere and everywhere I so desire, because I am not limited by space. I'm not limited by time. I'm not limited by location. I can worship him wherever I want to worship him. See, God deserves our worship. Why is that? Because he stated that in this passage in Matthew. Because all power, no other power exists that is greater than the power of the Almighty God. Period. I got to wrap this up so our musicians come. I want to end with this, if you can stand to your feet. I want you to listen to this, church, okay? If you don't get anything tonight, get this. Write it down. This is a Twitter statement. Before our fast, get it in. To our worship to him. Understand this, because we get this backwards a lot. Our worship to him transcends anything else we can do for him. I can do a lot of things for him. I can feed the hungry for him. I can clothe the naked for him. I can give somebody a place to stay as an ambassador for him. But nothing I can do for him will transcend my worship to him. Does he care about the homeless? Yes. Does he care about the sick? Yes. What does he say? He says, you're going to have the poor, you're going to have the broken, you're going to have the downhearted with you all the time. They're always going to be here. But listen, before I go, you better worship me, because I'm not always going to be here. And sometimes I think we come to church and we think because we're involved in ministry, because we're teaching in Sunday school, we're leading worship. It doesn't matter. Sometimes I think we feel it because we're doing something for him. It's as equal to as our worship to him. So as we go into next year, Brother Hawk, I don't care how, well, I guess I shouldn't say it that way. I'm not as concerned as to how our worship sounds. Because if I understand worship correctly, it comes up to God as a sweet-smelling savor. So God can take my stinky old voice that can't sing its way out of a bucket, and it will take that stinky old voice, that sound, but somehow it transcends to a sweet-smelling savor when it comes up to him in his throne room. There's hope for me. I can tickle the nostrils of God with this terrible old voice. So as we close out tonight, church, it's about worship. Why we do what we do it to worship him. Now there's more to it. We're going to get into that as the weeks go by. But we're going to close this out with just worship. because he created us to worship him. So Sister Cecily begins to sing. I want you to come down to this altar.
Lord,
and as you come, I'm
going
to just continue to read. So you keep singing, Cess. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 95:6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He's worthy of our praise, church. He deserves it.
As we call on your name, would you make this a place for your glory to dwell? Open the blind eyes, unlock the deaf ears, come to your people as we draw near. Hear us from heaven and touch our
What a great God.